السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Dr. Ali Zini teaching the Quran class in the Weekend Islamic School. And today is one of the names of Allah, Al-Jameel, the full, the one who's full of beauty, the Jameel or Al-Jameel. Al-Jameel means the Jameel, the one full of beauty or the most beautiful. Okay. The meaning of the name of Allah, Al-Jameel, it means Allah's actions, attributes, characteristics are all Jameel, means beautiful, beautiful manners. Okay? So, His face is Jameel, His creation is Jameel, He deals with us in a Jameel manner, which means that Allah's actions, attributes, and characteristics are very beautiful or full of beauty. His face is full of beauty, His creation is full of beauty, and He deals with us in a beautiful manner. And let's see. Jameel in His creation is a sign of His existence. When we say Allah is Al-Jameel in His creation, is a sign of His existence, actually. Being Al-Jameel is His creation. And this is how we recognize that we have a God, because of the creation, because He's Jameel in His creation. So that's how we figure out we have God. And let's watch these videos, introductory videos, to show how Jameel is Allah.
fragrance of a rose in bloom, a newborn's cry at birth. How could I say there is no God when all around creation calls a singing bird, a mighty tree, the vast expanse of open sea.
Okay, so that was the first video that shows the beauty in Allah's creation, which is Jameel in Allah's creation. As we said, the first meaning, the meaning of Allah's creation, the meaning is the one who is Jameel, the most beautiful, Jameel in his actions, Jameel in his attributes, Jameel in his characteristics, Jameel in his face is Jameel, his creation is Jameel, he deals with us with Jameel manner, which means that the most beautiful, Jameel is the most beautiful. And we watched that video to see how can Allah, creation of Allah is so Jameel, and the creation of Allah is so Jameel, and it's a sign of his existence as well, because when this is created, it's a sign of his existence. Now the second video also will show the same thing, but in a different, it's shorter, and it shows how is the creation of Allah so beautiful.
Thank you.
see how Jameel Allah's creation, how Jameel is the creation of Allah. That's a sign of his existence as well. Okay, now the hadith that mentioned the name al-Jameel is not mentioned in the Quran, it's mentioned in the Sunnah, which is the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud narrated that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no one would enter Jannah if she or he has an atom weight of arrogance in their heart. Then a man raised his hand and he said, Prophet Muhammad, when Prophet Muhammad told him to pointed for him to speak, he said, O Messenger of Allah, every single one of us likes to wear good clothes and good shoes. Is this arrogance? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, no, Allah is beautiful and he loves beauty. But arrogance is to look down on people and to reject the truth when it comes. I don't want the truth to come because the truth, I don't like the truth because of, you know, I'm arrogant. I'm, you know, whatever I said is correct. It's whatever I say is the truth. Okay. And also, is to look down on people. Everybody is less than me. I'm the best. That's an arrogance thing. Now, dressing in a Jameel manner. Allah wants us to dress in a Jameel manner, beautiful manner. He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, said in Quran several times, like in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
O children of Adam, take on your adornment at every mosque. Eat and drink and do not be extravagant. Surely, he does not like the extravagant.
قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ
Say, who hath forbidden the adornment of Allah which he hath brought forth for his bondmen and the good things of his providing? Say, such on the day of resurrection will be only for those who believe during the life of the world. Thus do we detail our revelations for people who have knowledge.
See, so Allah wanted, Allah said, who said that it's haram to be dressed in a nice good
manner?
Allah wants you to dress in a good manner, okay? And the problem here is that he said, do not be extravagant, because he doesn't like extravagant people. Because when you're extravagant, you are wasting not only your share, but the share of others, the share of the poor people, the share of the society. You're wasting it. And Shaitan loves to waste, to make you waste. Allah wants you to, wants things to be useful, wants you to use. Shaitan wants you to waste. So when you're extravagant, you're wasting, okay? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna Allah yuhibbu an yara." Allah loves to see the sign of his favors, like the like the servant of Allah must show the favors, okay? That Allah has blessed him with money and blessed him with clothes. Okay, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to dress in the best manner. He had special clothes for guests, special clothes for Eid, and he was very particular about smelling good, looking good, grooming himself. Other religions that have monks practice where they isolate themselves in a cave, and the more righteous, the more stinky you smell, and the more you appear as a person who's not taking care of his groom, the more righteous and religious you are, because that's how they measure it. Secluding yourself and depriving yourself from this life and from the pleasures of this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he doesn't like that. He likes the people to get dressed and to clean themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking at the face of the Jameel in the day of judgment, the face of the Jameel, the face of Allah, the most beautiful face, the pinnacle of beauty and perfection. His face is the pinnacle of beauty and perfection. His name is Jameel, nothing were more blessed or more beautiful than himself. This is proven of the fact that the greatest gift in the Day of Judgment, the greatest reward, is not only being in Jannah, but is to be able to see him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to be able to see him. That's the greatest gift that you will be given in Jannah. If the people of hell get to see the face of Allah, they wouldn't feel hell. They would feel a Jannah. They would feel joy that would make them unfeel hell at all. And that's why Allah deprives them from seeing him in the Day of Judgment. See?
That day will faces be resplendent, looking toward their Lord.
And لوجهها إلى ربها ناظرة means looking at Allah. And when you look at
Allah,
and that day will other faces be despondent. Thou wilt know that some great disaster is about to fall on them.
Those are the bad guys where Allah deprives them from seeing him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? There is nothing more beautiful than seeing Allah's face. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Qaf that the believers will have what they want, and we have more. And the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam illustrated that this more is to look at his face. That is what is more, which is in the Day of Judgment as a reward. And the Prophet Muhammad used to say, I ask you for the sweetness of looking at your noble and beautiful face. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa Prophet Muhammad got as close as possible from Allah during the Mi'raj, the heavenly journey. We have the Isra from Mecca to Jerusalem, that's the night journey, and then we have the heavenly journey where he with Angel Jibreel, he lifted him up and he went as close as possible from Allah. So he was asking. So this is the ayah that shows that he has went so close to Allah, Surah An-Najm.
While he was on the upper horizon, then he drew near and came down, so as he was at a distance like that of two bows, joined together, rather even nearer.
So even nearer than that. So when he was asked, did you get to see Allah? He said, how can I see him? Okay. All what I saw is light. Light was everywhere. I couldn't see him because it was light everywhere. Okay? It was light everywhere, so I couldn't see him at all. Okay? Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has a hijab, a veil, a cover, a curtain. And this curtain was made of light. And if Allah lifts that curtain, the everything in this universe will burn. But to protect the creation, Allah is putting a veil of light or a curtain of light to cover his light so that the creation can exist. Okay. Allah deals with us the most beautiful man, the most jameel man. Okay. How? He covers up our sins and erases them. He forgives us, covers our sins, and erases them. Okay? His forgiveness is the most beautiful manners. Covering of shame, our bad deeds, is the most beautiful manners. He doesn't deal with us in an evil manner. He deals with us in the most beautiful manner, beyond even what any human can do. For example, the first example that in counting good deeds, see how Allah deals with us in a jameel manner, which is the most beautiful manner, in counting good deeds, He would multiply them by at least 10. In counting bad deeds, He does not multiply them at all. He just uses them as is, one. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah 6, 160, Surah Al-An'am. Okay, let's see.
Whoever comes with a good deed will receive 10 times as much, and whoever comes with an evil deed will be requited with no more than the like of it, and they shall not be wronged.
And Allah will never do injustice. Okay? So that is the best way, Allah, of dealing with us. Now, Allah doesn't rush His judgment. That's the second example, that Allah doesn't rush His judgment. He gives us a chance. I want a chance after another, because if He would rush His punishment, nobody is going to remain on earth. Okay? And that's what this ayah is saying.
And if Allah were to hasten in sending evil to the people, as they hasten in seeking good, their time would have been all over. So, we leave alone those who do not believe in meeting us to wander blindly in their rebellion.
Okay.
وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ الضُّرُّ دَعَانَا لِجَنْبِهِ.
Okay. Now, there are so many examples that would show how Allah deals with us with a jameel manner, in the most beautiful manner, covering our shame, erasing our sins, giving us a chance to quit bad deeds and to repent, helping us to repent, giving us patience in calamities, provide for us, provisions. So He deals with us in the most beautiful manner. And then Al-Jamil is creation. That's just like we saw in the video. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that He has created us in a jameel manner, in a jameel shape, to look jameel, which is, again, jameel is beautiful.
He has created the heavens and the earth rightly, and shaped your figures, and made your figures good, and to Him is the final return.
Good is jameel. I mean, the translation is jameel, but it's the word jameel is lost in translation. Okay. When we see the images of nature, rivers, gardens, lakes, mountains, snow, waterfalls, they are so beautiful. Even if you don't, even if you have no faith, your heart is still filled with a sense of appreciation. Okay? And most likely people, when they see these things, it is a sign of existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The favors that Allah has given us, the fact that we appreciate beauty, indicate that Allah is beautiful and His creation is beautiful. Allah said to describe His creation, the beautiful creation that He provides for us, the beautiful shape, the beautiful looking, the good looking, the good looks.
Lo, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the difference of night and day, and the ships which run upon the sea, with that which is of use to men, and the water which Allah sendeth down from the sky, thereby reviving the earth after its death, and dispersing all kinds of beasts therein, and in the ordinance of the winds and the clouds, obedient between heaven and earth, are signs of Allah's sovereignty for people who have sins.
For those people who have sins, they can make sins. You can make sense out of these. Okay? When we see the sun rise and sunset, when we see the stars, when we see all of these beautiful planets, we can't help it but be overwhelmed with this beauty that Allah created. That proves that Allah. Now, about getting dressed, there is a certain dress code that Islam imposes, and Allah wants us to be dressed in such a beautiful manner. Okay, He loves beauty, and He would like us to wear clear, good clothes. But He wants us also to respect the dress code. Okay, the dress has the following requirement. The first of all, that the dress should not reveal that you are of another religion. So don't wear a dress specific to a different religion. So don't dress like a nun if you're a woman or a girl. Don't dress like a priest if you're a boy or a man. Don't dress like priest, rabbi, or etc. Don't dress anything that known to be of a different religion. Don't wear a cross or other similar religious icons. Don't wear a shirt with a picture or logo that belongs to another religion, such as the crucifixion of Jesus, for example. Dress that has pictures. Don't wear a shirt with indecent pictures. Preferably don't wear a dress with pictures of live beings on it. That's a preference. Especially if you're going to go pray home. I'm sorry. If you're going to pray at the masjid, then don't wear it, because it will distract the people from praying by watching this image. The people who are behind you, or if it's an image in front of you, then it will chase away the angels. So it's not haram to have a live image of a live being, but it is just the angels don't come, because the angels are very sensitive and they get offended when they see someone doing a picture that's similar to what Allah has created. Cover your awra, which is the shameful part of the body, whatever you call it, translated as. For men, the awra is between the belly button and the knees. Okay, that's what needs to be covered. If you're going to pray, then wear a shirt. I mean, even though it's between the belly button and knee, it's recommended that when you pray, if you're about to pray, to wear a shirt. For women, the awra is the entire body except hands and face. Hands, you can show hands, you can show face. These are not awra, okay? But the rest of the body must be covered with not tight clothes that reveals the contours of the body, but like wide enough to so that the contours of the body don't show up. Scholars have been disputing about covering the foot. Some say it's awra, others say it's not. So it's up to you to select whether you want to wear socks or not. So it's also in the Salafi teaching, the face is considered to be an awra, except during prayers and Hajj. So they believe that the women should cover their face, but if they go to Hajj, they should not cover their face. If they pray, they should not cover their face. Okay, or not should not cover their face. If they're going for Hajj, they must not cover their face. But if they are going to pray, then it's a choice. They might do it or they might not. But outside of these two occasions, they cannot remove their veil. However, since there is an other teachings disagree, if we have four schools, three of them disagree with this. Only Imam Ahmad is the one that made this demand. So he's like a minority opinion. And Dr. Qaradawi actually discouraged covering the face for women when they live in the West, because it propagates a bad image of Muslim women, that they are being oppressed, that they are being da-da, you know what I'm talking about. Don't wear tight or stretch clothes that reveals the contours of the body. If you do, then cover the areas. Okay. Like if you wear like a band that would show the contours of the back of your body, then wear a shirt on it to cover it so that it's not showing. don't wear flashy dress, like flashy colors. No, don't dress aggravating or provoking dress, maybe intimidating dress as well. Don't dress in conflict with the occasion. So the customs here is that if you're going to like for a funeral, you wear black stuff, dark black stuff. So don't go there wearing red or wearing rose or wearing white. That's not appropriate for the occasion. Dress that has pictures of indecent singers and actors, such as Madonna, for example, or people like that, we don't want to wear those. Unclean clothes with patches, we shouldn't wear them unless we have to, unless we're poor, we can't afford any better. And also don't underdress. If you can afford not to, don't underdress. About wearing perfumes, no perfume for women. The Prophet ﷺ said, if a woman goes out, wears her perfume and goes out of her home, she's cursed. Okay, but in her home, she can wear as many and as much perfume as she would like. This is restricted only in public places. And no perfume for men that conflicts with the occasion as well. So if there's an occasion, they wear perfume which are known to be for men and appropriate for the occasion. No perfume that stimulate indecent temptations of lower desires, like make people attractive for mating and things like that, or for intimacy. And there are rules of hijab mentioned in the Quran. For hijab, there are rules of hijab mentioned in the Quran. In Surah An-Nur, Allah listed the people who can see women without hijab. Okay, and let's see that verse.
وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ
And tell the believing women to lower their gaze and be modest, and to display of their adornment only that which is apparent, and to draw their veils over their bosoms, and not to reveal their adornment save to their own husbands, or fathers, or husbands' fathers, or their sons, or their husbands' sons, or their brothers, or their brothers' sons, or sisters' sons, or their women, or their slaves, or male attendants who lack vigor, or children who know not of women's nakedness, and let them not stamp their feet so as to reveal what they hide of their adornment, and turn unto Allah together, O believers, in order that ye may succeed.
So that is the regarding the people. And Allah said khimar, Allah wants in this ayah, Allah saying, I want a khimar, which is khimar in Arabic is a well perfectly understandable Arabic language, which means covering the head. And Allah said, I want a khimar that long enough to cover the area here, this area of the chest. So any khimar that ends here and does not cover and the chest is open, then that's not allowed. So the khimar has to go down and cover the chest. Unless there's a shirt that covers the chest, then this is enough. And in Surah, these are evidence from the Quran that hijab is mandatory. Okay, because people say hijab is not in the Quran. It is in the Quran. And it's an Arabic custom. No, it's an Islamic requirement. And the second verse that proves that hijab is a requirement is Allah said, I want a jilbab. Jilbab is a perfectly understandable Arabic language that is wide enough not to reveal the contours and long enough to cover the all the way down, so you don't show your legs and things like that. And these are perfectly understandable Arabic.
O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers that they should draw down their shawls over them. That will make it more likely that they are recognized, hence not teased, and Allah is most forgiving, very merciful.
So that would be better would be better because it will protect them from harassment, basically. But it doesn't have to be for that reason. Even if there is no harassment, still is required.
O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the...
Okay, the other translation. Okay.
O Prophet, tell thy wives and thy daughters and the women of the believers to draw their cloaks close around them when they go abroad. That will be better, so that they may be recognized and not annoyed. Allah is ever forgiving, merciful.
You can still be wearing your hijab and you get...
So
there are no guarantees. But that will make it less likely. Also, the person who wants to date will not target a hijabi girl. The person who wants indecent business, like indecent relationships, and is looking for haram intimacy, fornication, and they are not going to bother a hijabi girl, okay, in these things. They are going to approach liberal girls who are wearing shorts and open skirts. Those are the ones that would be approached for something like that. But for hijabi girls, they will never approach hijabi girls with this intention in mind. There is a so they will not approach a hijabi girl unless there is a decent business. But if they approach a non-hijabi girl, then it's possible that it's a decent business, and it's possible that it's not decent business. Okay, but it's perform. It's confirmed that's going to be decent business with the girls who are wearing hijab. And then the third evidence, verse in the Quran that talks about that hijab is mandatory, is the verse that says who can take off the women who are allowed to take off their hijab, even though Allah said it's better not, but you are exempted.
And those old women who have no hope for marriage, there is no sin on them if they take off their extra clothes while they do not display their adornment. Still, that they refrain even from this is better for them. Allah is all hearing, all knowing.
So a grandma who's 60 years old or 70 years old, she's allowed to take off her hijab, though Allah said it's better not. First of all, Allah said, take off your hijab, but don't show any decorations. That's number one. Number two, do not. It's better not to take it, even if you're in the 60s and 70s. And my grandmother, she kept wearing her hijab until she died at the age of 90-something, 95, something like that. She never took off her hijab. Just like what Allah said, it's better not to do it.
As for women past childbearing who have no hope of marriage, it is no sin for them if they discard their outer clothing in such a way as not to show adornment. But to refrain is better for them. Allah is hearer, knower.
So that's grandmas, okay? Not so just imagine what would be the situation for young girls who don't wear scarves and who show beauty and adornments. It's totally against Islam. And there are two situations, two kind of women. One woman will say, okay, I know that hijab is mandatory, but I can't do it, or I just don't want to do it, or I ask Allah to help me do it. That's a sin, and it's a major sin, but it still remains a sin. But the one that goes outside of the umbrella of Islam is the one intentionally denying hijab, saying hijab is not part of Islam. Muslim women are not required to wear hijab. And she's saying that knowingly, these three verses, knowingly about the hadith that mandates the hijab, for example, The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Asma when she went out without hijab and she was after her period. So he told her, if a girl reaches period, puberty, she must not go out without wearing the hijab, and she can only show her hands and her face. That's it. Okay. And also hijab is proven by the continuous practice of since the Prophet Muhammad time. So Prophet Muhammad taught the female companions to wear hijab. Those companions taught their daughters, and the daughters taught their daughters, and the daughters taught their daughters, and it's a continuous practice that was never abandoned since the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is today, until today. So that's another evidence from the Sunnah. I did not include it here. I only included the evidence from the Quran about that. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has names related to the creation itself. Okay? The process of creation, the miracle of creation. Allah has names relevant to that. The names of Allah relevant to the creation, which is the creator, Al-Khaliq, the maker, Al-Bari', the bestower of form, Al-Musawwir, the originator from nothing, Al-Fatir. Okay? And these are names among the list of 99 names. Okay. When Allah says that He creates and He says just creator, then it means all three together. Okay, but when Allah mentioned, which is only one time in the Quran, He mentions them separate from one another. So He said the creator, the maker, the bestower, okay, of forms. Then these are three different processes, or like these three different jobs or tasks required for the creation. Okay, so for example, al-musawwir, the bestower of forms. Okay, the bestower of forms. Look at the amazing forms that Allah has created. Look at the elephant with a nose and trunk. Look at the giraffe, how tall is she? Look at the reptiles that walk without legs. Look at all these beautiful shapes, beautiful. And even when they do a science fiction movies or science fiction television shows, they show the aliens still have hands, some form of hands, some form of eyes, and some form of a mouth, ears. Still, they are going back to the design that Allah created. Yes, they might have, like, make them have three eyes and a long nose or big ears or whatever it is, but they still are imagining the design that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, which is the design of us like that. Okay, so He is the Al-Khaliq, means the designer, the designer when it comes by itself. The maker is the one who makes the design into form. Okay, and so when they come, all three of them come together, then they mean different tasks in performing creation, but usually the creator, the word creator, comes all by itself, and in this case it means those three things together. The originator, Al-Fatir, that's one of the names of Allah, but it's not fully agreed upon. Not all scholars the Fatir, the name Fatir, originator, not all of them say that the originator is one of the names of Allah. So it's out of I had the number here, hopefully it didn't go away. Yeah, it looks like that it's gone away, but the 4 out of 13 scholars, six out of 16 scholars say that this name is one of the names in the primary list of 99 names, which is Fatir, and the remaining ones say it's not part of the 99 list of primary 99 names, okay, because it didn't come with, it's not a proper noun. When it was said in the Quran, it was not in a proper noun form, because any proper noun that references Allah is one of the names of Allah, but this one didn't come in a proper noun, so that's why Allah has focused on reminding us over and over that He's the creator, He's the maker, and because He is the maker, He's the only maker, then He's the only one to be worshipped. If there are other makers, then they are also deserve worshipping, but He is the only maker, and that's why He is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. Okay, and He said also, because He's the only maker, He is the one who has the right to issue commands and say do's and don'ts. Because He's the maker and He is the only maker, then He's the only one who can legislate and give us commands and orders. All right, so we ran out of time here, and I would like to